Bye, Tommy.
In most of the country's capitals this year, thousands are expected to flock to dawn services, gunfire breakfasts and marches on Monday, and the Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting damp conditions in only Brisbane and Perth. A woman who uses a wheelchair is in a serious condition in hospital after being stabbed during an argument at a shopping centre in New South Wales' south. A 27-year-old woman has been charged with causing grievous bodily harm with intent to murder and refused bail after stabbing the 42-year-old victim in her neck at a Bega shopping centre yesterday afternoon. Police say the two women had an argument in a lift before the younger woman went to her car for a weapon and returned to stab the victim. A bail application by the Australian-British man accused of organising a botched child recovery operation in Lebanon has been postponed until next week. Adam Whittington, whose firm Child Abduction Recovery International received a $69,000 payment from the Nine Network for the operation, and is angry he was left out of a deal done by the channel which saw the journalists and the children's mother return to Australia on bail. Whittington was arrested earlier this month along with Australian mother Sally Faulkner and the 60 Minutes crew after a failed bid to recover Ms. Faulkner's children from her estranged husband in Beirut and return them to Australia. Five people, including two teenagers, have died on New South Wales roads in a horror start to the Anzac Day long weekend. Among the victims were three young men from Orange whose four-wheel drive left the highway northwest of Dubbo yesterday. Earlier, a 17-year-old girl was killed and her 15-year-old male passenger airlifted to hospital after their car also hit a tree near Mittagong. And a 44-year-old woman died in hospital after she was struck by a car early yesterday morning while crossing a road at Cardiff near Newcastle. Meanwhile, in Victoria, a 4-year-old girl has been killed and a 24-year-old man hospitalised after a car slammed into a tree in rural Victoria yesterday afternoon. The girl was taken to hospital but died on arrival. A post-mortem examination shows there is no reason to believe the death of music legend Prince was a suicide. That's the conclusion of the sheriff of the Minnesota county where Prince was found dead on Thursday. US correspondent Rachel Silverman reports.
The sheriff says the preliminary investigation shows no signs of trauma on Prince's body and he probably died alone. Members of Prince's staff found him unconscious in an elevator on the first floor of his estate on Thursday morning. An emergency team was unable to revive him. Officials say the cause of death is still under investigation and a full report including toxicology will likely take weeks. Prince's body has now been released to his family. Prince Rogers Nelson was 57 years old.
Barack Obama has marked the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death by visiting the Globe Theatre in London. On the banks of the Thames, actors treated the leader to a preview of a special touring production of the tragedy Hamlet. The visit was something of a pilgrimage for the 44th President of the United States, who has named Shakespeare's tragedies as among the top three books that have inspired him. Also in news, Australian Greens MP Jeremy Buckingham has set a river on fire in an attempt to prove it is being affected by fracking.
Don't let it burn the boat!
Queensland residents say bubbling on the Condamine River has intensified in recent months, with concerns it's methane seeping into the river from a nearby fracking site. This is AIR News. Australian Open champion Angelique Kerber outlasted two-time Wimbledon winner Petra Kvitova 6-4, 4-6, 6-2 for a place in the final of the WTA Stuttgart event in Germany where she seeks back-to-back titles. The second seed Kerber claimed victory over tournament number 5 Kvitova in 2 hours and 3 minutes, breaking a 2-all tie with 4 unanswered games to triumph on her first match point in front of a partisan German home crowd. North Melbourne have won their 5th straight match this season with a 38-point victory over the Gold Coast at Metricon Stadium. The Kangaroos stay top of the AFL ladder with an 18-11-119 to 11-15-81 victory with Ben Brown kicking 4 goals. Kangaroos coach Brad Scott says he's proud of his team, but there's still plenty of room for improvement.
Sometimes if you were absolutely flying and 5-0, you'd be a bit concerned that we're a bit overboard in your preparation and maybe the cliff's coming, but I actually feel the opposite. I think that we're playing good footy, but not our very, very best.
5'8" Josh Reynolds has set up 2 tries and kicked the winning field goal to lead Canterbury to a 21-20 NRL Golden Point victory over Gold Coast. The Bulldogs' pivot has starred in wet conditions at ANZ Stadium, staking a claim to regain his New South Wales State of Origin jumper. The home side appeared headed for a cruisy win when they led by 12 points in the 53rd minute, but back-to-back tries to David Mead and Josh Hoffman within 7 minutes brought the game to life. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
And Sydney weather today, showery, partly cloudy morning. Well, it's plenty of cloud at the moment. They say a medium percent chance of showers. Jimmy, it was cloudy all the way in on the way in, and the roads were wet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was pouring down south last night.
So what are you looking at me like that for?
You said it's partly cloudy at the moment. We're in a dungeon.
But we're in the, that's why I corrected it and said it's very cloudy at the moment. Anyway, Sydney's heading for a top temperature today of 23 degrees with a shower or two clearing. Here's hoping, Jim. Jim, what about at Terry Hills and up at Tamworth for Tamworth Cup Day?
Terry Hills, it's 21 degrees today is to be a maximum in Tamworth. Tamworth Cup, partly cloudy in the morning, then mostly sunny, a maximum temperature of 25 degrees. And good morning, Mrs. Thomas.
Hi, from Andrew Bensley at Racing HQ. The exciting New South Wales Autumn Carnival continues next weekend with Hawkesbury's $1 million Metropolitan Saturday. You'll get the latest each day this week with eyes on the Hawkesbury Guineas, the Gold Cup and the Daly Crown. Also, as we commemorate Anzac Day, Punters Postmortem will wrap up the weekend's racing on Tuesday morning at 9. Get the best analysis on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, LG's new 4K OLED big screen TVs are here at Bingley.
That means the future's here.
Mum, it has to be seen to be believed. There's incredible contrast between lit pixels and unlit pixels.
Lano, speak English.
It means you see a picture of amazing depth with perfect blacks and much richer colours.
The perfect picture.
And right now, there's free delivery and installation on LG OLED TVs at Bingley.
Free delivery and installation? Bingley and LG OLED, the perfect relationship.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Delivery areas and times are subject to terms and conditions. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
So Hawthorn have done it. The first team in the 18-10 competition to go back to back.
It's going to be the magnificent Mark Marquez. It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away.
To the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Welcome to the program. I hope you're having a great Anzac weekend. 1353 53 is the open line number. 0419 SMS BSB. If you want to send us an SMS, 0419 767 272. And of course, you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. Dare I say it, Raymond Thomas?
Massive
program coming your way over the next 3 hours. We'll have our event cinema quiz. And we've got some VMAX double passes to give away, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Mark and the team out there will have our race replays. Bjorn Baker, a winner for him yesterday in Rose Hill, a winner for him yesterday at Kembla Grange, and there was another winner on the Sunshine Coast. Is that right?
Big day, yes.
Wow, that is fantastic. Well done, Bjorn. Kim Waugh, a good win for her yesterday with Hetty Heights. Kristen Buchanan has the favourite running today in the Tamworth Cup. We thought we'd have a chat with Kristen as well. Andy Pascalidis from the world of football. We'll have a chat with Zorba, see what's happening in the world of rugby league. And speaking of our legend of the game, well, how do you top Herb Elliott? Very hard.
You can't.
No, no. Very. Unless we had Muhammad Ali coming on the program today, which we don't, just to clarify. But we do have a champion in their own right. An outstanding rugby league player, Bradley Clyde, will be our legend of the game. And in doing some research on Bradley Clyde, you forget the accolades that he garnered, especially early on in his career. Just incredible, right? And it's going to be a treat to speak to him a little bit later on today.
We were having a chat about him last night, Jimmy, and I think you described him aptly when you said he was a prototype of the modern football, because he... he was ahead of his time in a lot of respects, wasn't
yes.
he? He was.
Yes.
He was a player who could play 80 minutes of football. He could play all different positions. If you needed to, you could throw him out in the centres.
Yes.
Because he had enough speed to hold that down that position. But as a lock forward and second rower, he was just a tireless worker, wasn't he? And a damaging ball runner.
Well, what he used to do was, when they put a kick downtown, he would be the first guy back to do the next hit up.
Mm.
And then, if the Raiders got the ball in attacking position, he would be the guy to run the wide line because he had such great speed.
Mm.
You know, he was an edge forward, he was a middle forward, and he was a tireless defender, all wrapped up into one.
Outstanding. A prototype. I love that description.
So Bradley Coyde will be our legend of the game. If you want to send us a question that we should ask Bradley, do that via one of those means that we've spoken about earlier. Carrot Holland. What a bright spark he's been for the Bulldogs, hasn't he?
I know breath you
probably,
of fresh air.
I know you probably don't like him, Ray, because he kicked that winning goal out at Penrith that day.
But you loved him when he was interviewed, didn't
you?
With Freddie
Fittler. Mate. He's always going to go over, mate. Oh, yeah, mate.
And it just instantly you thought, well, good on you. You know, he backed himself, got the win, super confident.
Yeah.
And he's cemented a position now, Jimmy, in the first grade side. He's going okay.
Looks that way, doesn't it? Looks that way. So we'll have a chat with Carrot Holland after a win of, the Bulldogs. Ahead by 12, and then they stopped. James Graham not happy, blowing up James Graham. Dean Ritchie, he loves a blow-up. We might get a blow-up out of Dino today. We can usually pull his coattails enough just to get a blow-up out of him. 13-53-53 is the open line number. Let's run through those scores in the National Rugby League, Raymond. 30-8, the Broncos over the Rabbitohs. Doesn't really do the justice to the Rabbitohs in the way they played, I felt.
Agree with that, yeah. It was game one for a fair bit of that first half, early second half.
But yep.
The Broncos are clinical, aren't they, Jim? Give them a sniff and they'll take full advantage, and they were really good. You mentioned the Bulldogs, 21-20. Raiders, I was texting you last night, 60 points... to 6 against the Tigers. Were the Raiders that good or the Tigers that bad, or a combination of both?
Yeah, I'll go with the latter, combination of both. It was very distressing signs. The first two tries for the Raiders were just, you know, one pass off the ruck, charging at the line, and that's just not acceptable defence at that level.
There was a section of the second half when obviously the game was well and truly shot to pieces, and then it looked like the Raiders could have scored off any tackle of any set, and they were going upfield making 100 metres off a kick return, and the Tigers, it was woeful. Cowboys 32, Eels 16. Jimmy, I thought a terrific game of football. Some controversial moments. The Eels really manned up last night, and it was a terrific contest in the first half, and they fought back really hard in the second half, and Cowboys are fantastic, unbeaten now at home this season, 5 games in a row, and they're definitely the tests for all other NRL clubs. But the Eels aren't that far behind, Jim.
Well, the Cowboys win by 16 points, but again, not a true reflection of the game. Outstanding game of rugby league, albeit the Eels got their tries in... So there's a little bit of a luck element associated with it. Remember, Semirad Radra picked up the loose ball and ran 80 metres, and Michael Jennings gets an intercept to run 90 metres.
You've got to convert those things, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. But they'd played very well for extended periods in that first half without
defense
reward.
Was brilliant. Yeah.
But a high-quality game of rugby league, and they've just got so many players up there, the Cowboys, that are improving, which is the scary thing. Josh Hodgson. Yeah.
You've mentioned before.
Well, look what can happen. I was thinking about it last night. You look at those Englishmen that come out here. You've got James Graham's an obvious one, but Josh Hodgson is another one.
Star. Yeah.
But you get those guys that come out here. They come from the English Super League, where they've been there for a number of years. They come to Australia, where they've got improved preparation conditions.
Fitness, etc.
Improved coaching. They're tested on a week-to-week level, and they take their game to a new level. Mm. You just wonder, you know, I watched a little bit of English Super League, and we know from the World Club Challenge that the game is not as strong over there on a club-by-club basis. But it's clear that the talent is there.
Mm.
It's just that, and it makes you appreciate just how good the NRL is in the preparation of their athletes. I'm not going to leave the AFL out of that either. Mm. I think the AFL, the preparation of the athlete, and the NRL, the preparation of the athlete, is just world class.
And some of the games we've seen this season, Jim, in both codes have been phenomenal. I thought, as I said, the Cowboys-Eels game last night was compelling to watch.
Mm.
Fantastic stuff. And that came after, I don't know if you would have watched much of it, a Friday night game between Hawthorn and Adelaide in the AFL, which was as good as you'll see.
I heard it was a good game.
Unbelievable game of football.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Swannies were terrific yesterday, beating West Coast in a
wet conditions,
88-49. So their season's off to a good start. GWS, I got that wrong last week.
Didn't you? You underestimated your boys.
They hammered Port Adelaide.
Where did that come from? I saw the score and went, what?
Well, they're an evolving side, and they really are a chance to sneak into the top eight this season, I think. They play St Kilda today, and if they can win on the road, that's another little step forward in their direction. And the Waratahs had a win overnight. Izzy Folau is now the highest try scorer ever for New South Wales, with 30 tries.
In the history of the Waratahs?
Yes, gone past Lottie Takiri on 29. So
that's amazing, isn't it? With their rich history. I suppose back in the day they only played three games a year.
In Super Rugby a lot more. But
go up there and beat Queensland for fun, I suppose. That's what they used to do.
Doesn't happen that often anymore.
No, but it happened this year.
Yeah, it did.
That's all they could
thankfully.
Be. Up to the Western Force. Hey, I'm going to ask you about the contentious issues in the rugby league before we get to racing. The Sam Burgess hit on Friday night when, I think it was Joe Ofengawe, was on the floor, on the ground. Thoughts?
Ugly look, it really was. All you got to do in that situation, Jim, is put your hand on the player and it's effectively a tackle. I know you got a different view on it.
This is where you've made me upset.
Okay, though. Your view? You asked mine, that's my view.
It's a hard game. Look,
I'm not doubting that. That's not the issue. It's not the issue, Jim.
Look, when was the last time had all the kids going, oh, remember when he did a really good voluntary tackle? You know, that's not the game. The game is when you smash guys. It's a physical intimidation.
What happened if he was injured, Jim?
But he wasn't.
What happened?
And
no,
I heard another commentator say, oh, and he really went hard at his rib cage. Hello? That's the point. That's the game.
Jim, how is it a tackle when the player's on the ground? All you do is put your hand on the player. You affect the tackle.
That's right. All you have to do. But get up and run. Get up and run. The fact that he was penalised, the fact that he nearly was sent to the sin bin, I was traumatised over that.
Yeah, that was a strange. Okay, we've read this on that one.
What's issue number 53? The obstruction rule.
Well, I know you've had some issues with it.
Well, the one on Friday night in the Rabbitohs Broncos games.
No, it was different to last night.
Clearly, Adam Reynolds didn't get a chance to make a tackle.
Jimmy, Usain Bolt couldn't have got across to tackle Corey
Oates.
Yes,
he could have.
No way in the world.
You have a look at the vision again.
There's no way Adam Reynolds could have got across
the defender on the inside of Adam Reynolds actually got across, and Corey Oates stepped inside him.
No way in the world. Yeah, I did many, many times. And there were three players on Corey Oates, South players, who couldn't stop him from scoring. Adam Reynolds would not have got there, Jim.
But he was denied the opportunity. That's the point.
That's where the common sense of the rule has gone out the window.
I think what's happened is they've made it very black and white.
And that's wrong,
Jim. Like it.
No, because there's so many grey areas. That's a classic example where you apply the obstruction rule to the letter of the law. It doesn't make sense, Jim. If you've played the game, you know. Adam Reynolds could not have got across that corner and tackled Corey Oates. He could not have got involved in the play. Corey Oates scored a legitimate try. But because there was a so-called black and white obstruction, as you like to use that phrase, penalty. It's wrong, Jim. It's wrong.
Racing at Rosehill yesterday, Raymond. How'd you go?
We agree, disagree.
13:53:53, you'll take your thoughts on that one. What was the standout for you yesterday at Rosehill?
Impending.
Ooh, this beautifully bred horse.
Lovely horse. John O'Shea did make mention afterwards that a horse has got some little issues with his legs.
Probably
more growing pains than anything. It's not the biggest two-year-old you've seen, but he's huge on talent, this horse. And he put pay to his rivals very, very quickly yesterday and unleashed a really good turn of foot. May have one more run this prep, but he's a horse, I think, going forward, we can see next season to be developing into a stakes horse by Lonro at a Nemeson.
Mm.
Both Group 1 winners. He's bred to be a star. I think he might be, Jim. Couple of great races yesterday. The hit High Midnight His Majesty Clash was fantastic.
Did he get it wrong, Brenton Avdullah? Did he just go a little late?
I thought he was a bit harsh on himself. I thought he rode it beautifully.
And
when he told me that afterwards, I was quite surprised because and interesting that Kim Ward did say that His Majesty had a good blow after the race, so maybe there's an improvement there going into the Scone Cup.
Right.
And the very next race, he got it right on Hetty Heights in a tremendous finish for Kim Wall. They just missed getting a double. James Cummings just keeps winning races.
Doesn't he?
As does Bjorn Baker.
Yeah, yeah.
And a great Hugh Bowman ride on Murphy's Delight was one of the highlights yesterday.
And well done to Sir Bacchus too. A mate of mine's one of the 60 owners that's involved
nice
in that one. Yeah,
yeah,
it did well. Good win yesterday. Mm. Thanks very much for the Punters Club too.
He's probably heading to Brisbane now and he's a chance to win a good race up there.
Good on you.
Improving three-year-old.
Brad Spearing from down there at Gerringong. We did appreciate that, the Funners Club yesterday. 1353 53, the open line number, just before we go to a break. And I know we're under pressure from producer Jeremy and panel operator Hamish about getting to the break. We need to release our talk topic for today. In the wake of Adam Scott saying, no, not going to Rio. Mm. Whoa. What are the times when sports people have said no to big events, most notably representing their country, any country?
I can remember once when Terry Lamb refused to go on a kangaroo tour.
He did.
Because his wife was going to give birth whilst he would have been overseas.
Yeah.
I remember the great Rex Mossop on the Sunday morning absolutely giving it to Terry Lamb.
Was he flabbergasted, Rex?
I think you might have used that word.
Yeah.
Comes to mind. You got one, Jim?
SCG McGill. He refused to tour Zimbabwe.
That's right.
At his own political protest at the Mugabe regime.
That's exactly right.
So that was another case.
There's been a few cricket ones, but we won't give them all away. Let our listeners
contribute. And we've got some prizes to give away, courtesy of Sony Music. I'll let you run through them, Ray.
If there's some Deep Purple fans out there, there's a few Deep Purple fans.
Everywhere from Demi M to Deep Purple. So that covers
the contrasting
full
as you and me, Jim.
Exactly. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We're back with more.
See a world-class lineup of 14 elite thoroughbreds competing for one of racing's most sought-after trophies. The Group 1 Audemars Piguet QE2 Cup. The Cup is the highlight of a smashing 10 race card from Sha Tin. It's where Aussie contender Rising Romance will not only take on Hong Kong's local heroes, but also an exciting trio from Japan. Today from 3 p.m. across the Sky Racing Network. Get on at your local tab or at tab.com.au. With Trackside, there's a game every 4 minutes.
$4 favourites.
All the major bet types.
Big dividends on offer.
Combines the excitement of thoroughbred, harness and greyhound racing.
Play Trackside now.
And gamble responsibly.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, a couple of interesting issues during the week.
Yes.
The NRL considering whether they can scrap Golden Point for the final series. How can they change the rules mid-season?
I don't know, Raymond. I'm not in agreement with that.
They can't do that, can they? I know you're not.
They can change it for 2017 if they want.
I know you're not a fan of Golden Point.
No,
but surely if you play your home and away rounds under that system, that's how you should play the finals. Correct?
You know what the problem is? If you ask someone from outer space to come and watch the extra time period of the game, the grand final last year, the Broncos versus the Cowboys.
Best advertisement ever.
No. I'm talking about the actual point of the Golden Point period.
Mm-hmm.
The game is unrecognisable as it's supposed to be played. Look, there was four people standing in front of Jonathan Thurston when that's not how it happens when he's trying to kick the field goal. So it needs tweaking. But I think Golden Try is the answer. And the other thing, I'm not sure, I'm not a fan of changing it mid-season.
Yeah, I can't do it, surely, Jim.
No.
What happens if your team misses out on the top eight because of a Golden Point situation in the last round? Things like that, it'd just be horrific. AFL, they've decided no grand final replay. So that raises what they're going to do, some extra time in the grand final.
Yep. I'm a great admirer of what the AFL do on most counts. However, welcome to 2016 on that one.
Seriously,
yeah, absolutely. 1353. Mind you, they did make an extra about $20 million when they had that replay between St Kilda and Collingwood about 4 or 5 years ago.
2010.
Yeah, 1353 53, the open line number. He's back. He had a week in exile. And now he's back.
The ban's lifted?
The ban has been lifted.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. In actual fact, it was a self-imposed ban. I mean, the comments were so ridiculous.
By you?
No. Well, when you say that stuff, you've got to expect to be banned.
Well, let's ask Adrian what he thinks.
Yeah, right. Hey, Adrian.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well,
Adrian. It wasn't a self-imposed ban, but look, what I didn't, wasn't aware of was the power that one James Smith... wheel.
You got no idea, Adrian. You got no idea.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I'll tell you what, I will take that on board going forward.
Yeah, oh, good idea.
It'd be very clever thinking, good actually, Adrian. Yeah.
Amazing. So well done. Just a couple of things. First of all, the NRL. Let's get the odds correct. It's the Cowboys and the Broncos about 2-1 each of two.
Yeah.
The next best is what, 16s,
yeah.
And I reckon 12 teams. Give up, forget it, secure your rat. Honestly, isn't there really? There's 12 teams that haven't got a hope.
Well, the only thing working, Adrian, in the favour of someone other than those two is the fact that the grand final is played in Sydney, and that is negated if the fact that the Broncos and the Cowboys make it.
And the Broncos had a dream draw so far, Adrian, which is what Zorb's point all along.
Well, they'll
so
get a, they'll get a dream draw for the rest of the year.
So.
Yeah.
They always have a dream draw, and I'll tell you what. Just look at my team, Canterbury. I reckon William Hopewade would be our best performer this year. And going through each position, I reckon William's about the sixth best fullback in the game at the moment. About number six.
He was good yesterday, wasn't he?
He was great. Yeah. But he'd be about number six. But let's face it, behind Boyd, behind Coote, behind Tedesco, people like that. Not yeah, but he's about number six for the Canterbury
team. Yeah. Yeah.
James Graham's game's gone right off.
Yeah.
He's probably six or seven. And Matty Johns probably the only person on the planet that thinks he's the number one prop in the game.
Yeah.
Now, you look at the Cowboys and you look at the Broncos.
Yeah.
In each position, like people like Milford and Thurston and Parker and Boyd and Scott and Tarman, all right through. In each position, they're either the best player in that position or they're in the top three. And they've probably got about eight or nine of those players throughout their team.
What about
it's
Jason?
A bit of a joke. And look at Michael Ennis too. He, at Canterbury, he was just a solid performer who gave away a lot of penalties. He goes to Cronulla, gets the shackles released. If they pick the Australian team on form, he's the hooker in the Australian team.
Now he's a very good player that still gives away a lot of penalties. So thanks very much for that. Tell you what, Adrian, great comeback.
It was quite sensible there.
Jason Taumalolo is just incredible.
He's an amazing
His second
player.
Stints are amazing.
And a couple of his hits last night. Jim.
Oh, what about the shot he did on Tepai Moroa?
Oh, you wouldn't get up.
Oh, gee. Good shot. Adrian, well done. Welcome back. Not a bad call there. We do appreciate it. Sava is on the line. G'day, Sava. You there, Sava?
Well, we thought he was there, Jim.
We might have missed
him. Hey, Jimmy, a couple of SMSs
He wanted to talk about the obstruction rule, apparently.
Well, I'm getting hammered here. Morning, boys. Jim, agree with everything you said in your opening comments. If you dive on a loose ball and don't get up, you deserve to get smashed. And on obstruction, it's clear you cannot obstruct a defender regardless of they got to the attackers or not. Cheers, Jason. Oh, I reckon Jason deserves a CD. He might be a Deep Purple fan for that one.
There you go, Jason. Deep Purple coming your way. I appreciate the support. But
to the rising sun in Tokyo.
The beauty of what they've done with the obstruction rule, and it's whether the block runner gets through and doesn't touch the defender, and whether the ball is passed behind the player and they carry the football. Mm. It's black and white. And it may not be applicable to every occasion. There may be differences. And I think last night in the Cowboys game, there was a clear difference in one. But at least as a viewer, I know, the ball's, he's got behind him, no try. Or it's the defender that's initiated contact, not the block runner. Then it's going to be a try. At least I know that when they take it up to the video ref.
But I know exactly what you're saying, Jim, but I just think, to me, particularly the Reynolds situation with Corey Oates on Friday night just frustrated me because he would not have got across there.
I can't agree with you on that one. Hello, Sava, we got you back.
Yeah, good day, lads.
Morning, Sava.
Jack Lip Gibson, years ago, God bless him, went for a trip to America, and he brought back a lot of ideas from Gridiron.
Yes.
And one of them was how the gridiron players run in kind of defence. Like a player can be running, and another player can run up and knock a player out of the way. Okay, I forget what that's called. But now, when a rugby league team's attacking and the players run up, there's only one thing they're told to do when they run up, and that's to get in front or try and stop a tackler from getting the bloke that's got the ball. And that's highly illegal.
No,
let me say this.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be allowed. It's straight away a shepherd. And when a player's running up with the ball, all the attacking team should be behind him and not in front of him. And otherwise, It's inviting a shepherd, and it's inviting what's becoming obvious now with the bunker, obstruction.
So no,
and to
no,
cause obstruction, no. You're causing a blue. And therefore, it should be completely banned, and the player should stay behind the player with the ball.
So all no, right, no decoy runners, Sever. No decoy
yeah,
runners.
Yeah, no decoy runners. Mm. And actually, Tom makes that point via SMS. Jimmy, wouldn't it make sense to ban decoy runners? Then we wouldn't have all this carry-on about obstruction. There might not be a try in the National Rugby League, but that's what you could have. That is one solution to it. I don't agree with Sava's assertion that once you're in front of the player that your idea is to obstruct the defender. In fact, that's the whole idea. They try to go to the inside shoulder. They try to make sure that they miss the defender.
Mm.
And they train long hours about learning how to do that and make sure they're getting it right.
Yeah, 100% of it. Real quick one, Jimmy. Another controversial incident last night. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. I cannot believe all the uproar over the sin binning of Corey Norman. The refs can never win. Everyone has been blowing up about the lack of sin bin usage in the past. Not only was it a sin bin offence, but it was close to a penalty try. Brett from Broadbeach.
Spot on, Brett. Mm. Absolutely. Race replays.
Deep purple coming for Brett from Broadbeach.
Deep purple coming your way to Broadbeach, Brett.
Day should be mild and sunny in most of the country's capitals this year. Thousands are expected to flock to dawn services, gunfire breakfasts and marches on Monday, and the Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting damp conditions in only Brisbane and Perth. A woman who uses a wheelchair is in a serious condition in hospital after being stabbed during an argument at a shopping centre in New South Wales' south. A 27-year-old woman has been charged with causing grievous bodily harm with intent to murder and refused bail after stabbing the 42-year-old victim in her neck at a Bega shopping centre yesterday afternoon. Police say the two women had an argument in a lift before the younger woman went to her car for a weapon and returned to stab the victim. A bail application by the Australian-British man accused of organising a botched child recovery operation in Lebanon has been postponed until next week. Adam Whittington, whose firm Child Abduction Recovery International received a $69,000 payment from the Nine Network for the operation, and is angry he was left out of a deal done by the channel which saw the journalists and the children's mother return to Australia on bail. Whittington was arrested earlier this month along with Australian mother Sally Faulkner and the 60 Minutes crew after a failed bid to recover Ms. Faulkner's children from her estranged husband in Beirut and return them to Australia. Five people, including two teenagers, have died on New South Wales roads in a horror start to the Anzac Day long weekend. Among the victims were three young men from Orange whose four-wheel drive left the highway northwest of Dubbo yesterday. Earlier, a 17-year-old girl was killed and her 15-year-old male passenger airlifted to hospital after their car also hit a tree near Mittagong. And a 44-year-old woman died in hospital after she was struck by a car early yesterday morning while crossing a road at Cardiff near Newcastle. Meanwhile, in Victoria, a 4-year-old girl has been killed and a 24-year-old man hospitalised after a car slammed into a tree in rural Victoria yesterday afternoon. The girl was taken to hospital but died on arrival. A post-mortem examination shows there is no reason to believe the death of music legend Prince was a suicide. That's the conclusion of the sheriff of the Minnesota county where Prince was found dead on Thursday. US correspondent Rachel Silverman reports.
The sheriff says the preliminary investigation shows no signs of trauma on Prince's body and he probably died alone. Members of Prince's staff found him unconscious in an elevator on the first floor of his estate on Thursday morning. An emergency team was unable to revive him. Officials say the cause of death is still under investigation and a full report including toxicology will likely take weeks. Prince's body has now been released to his family. Prince Rogers Nelson was 57 years old.
Barack Obama has marked the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death by visiting the Globe Theatre in London. On the banks of the Thames, actors treated the leader to a preview of a special touring production of the tragedy Hamlet. The visit was something of a pilgrimage for the 44th President of the United States, who has named Shakespeare's tragedies as among the top three books that have inspired him. Also in news, Australian Greens MP Jeremy Buckingham has set a river on fire in an attempt to prove it is being affected by fracking.
Can't let it burn the boat!
Queensland residents say bubbling on the Condamine River has intensified in recent months, with concerns it's methane seeping into the river from a nearby fracking site. This is AIR News. Australian Open champion Angelique Kerber outlasted two-time Wimbledon winner Petra Kvitova 6-4, 4-6, 6-2 for a place in the final of the WTA Stuttgart event in Germany, where she seeks back-to-back titles. The second seed Kerber claimed victory over tournament number 5 Kvitova in 2 hours and 3 minutes, breaking a 2-all tie with 4 unanswered games to triumph on her first match point in front of a partisan German home crowd. North Melbourne have won their 5th straight match this season with a 38-point victory over the Gold Coast at Metricon Stadium. The Kangaroos stay top of the AFL ladder with an 18-11-119 to 11-15-81 victory, with Ben Brown kicking 4 goals. Kangaroos coach Brad Scott says he's proud of his team, but there's still plenty of room for improvement.
Sometimes if you were absolutely flying and 5-0, you'd be a bit concerned that maybe you went a bit overboard in your preparation and maybe the cliff's coming, but I feel the opposite. I think that we're playing good footy, but not our very, very best.
5'8" Josh Reynolds has set up 2 tries and kicked the winning field goal to lead Canterbury to a 21-20 NRL Golden Point victory over Gold Coast. The Bulldogs pivot has starred in wet conditions at ANZ Stadium, staking a claim to regain his New South Wales State of Origin jumper. The home side appeared headed for a cruisy win when they led by 12 points in the 53rd minute, but back-to-back tries to David Mead and Josh Hoffman within 7 minutes brought the game to life. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
You wouldn't believe how much effort goes into this weather update, but anyway. Sydney, partly cloudy morning with a medium 50% chance of showers. Afternoon sunny periods, that's good news. Wind south to southwesterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour. Turning southeasterly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour during the morning. A maximum of 23 degrees, a shower or two clearing. Now, what about at Tarramurra, Raymond, and up at Tumbarumba?
Or down at Tumbarumba?
You'll see, that's the thing. Yeah, you go down, down latitudinally from Sydney, but you also go up elevation-wise.
Good point. Well, Tarramurra, shower to 22 degrees, and down at Tumbarumba, sunny day and 22 degrees.
Goss on your sport and your team. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. This is Jimmy's favourite segment of the morning.
You say that, you know what?
It's like your massive show, isn't it?
I put my head on the pillow last night, and this is going to sound a little strange, and immediately producer Jeremy's just very concerned about what's going to come out of my mouth here. I thought to myself, why does Ray always say that that segment's not my favourite segment?
Because when I first flagged it,
you
thought, no way in the world.
We had a sponsor on it for a while.
We did for a while. That dropped off.
What happened there?
That dropped off.
Right.
Anyway.
It's a great segment. I look forward to it.
You say in jest?
No.
Okay. Well, look, I'll tell you what though, Jimmy. It is worthwhile listening to this. Race 2 at Rose Hill yesterday. Our first starter from the Godolphin Stay. We mentioned him earlier. A colt called...
Go through the brooding again.
Yeah, by Lonro, an 11-time Group 1 winner. Out of Nemesson, who won 2 Group 1s, and she's already thrown a couple of stakes performers. She might have thrown her best yet. This is a good colt, Impending.
It's Sylphide pushed on now from Busha Kisser and Impending. Exteed's making good ground on the inside, and Aviator's coming from well back with a run down the outside as Impending dashes to the lead from Sylphide, Exteed, and then came Gretna. But Impending, the Lonro colt, is drawing clear. Impending, a great debut, goes on to beat Exteed, and Sylphide third just in front of Gretna. Then came a little.
So what's happened to Impending?
John O'Shea said after race yesterday he'd give it a week or so,
right,
and just decide whether he'll give the horse one more run. He'd like to, just for the experience, and he's considering potentially just whisking him up to Brisbane. A float trip away often does wonders for a horse, just experience, etc. Now, truly, Jimmy, it's a true story.
Opens their eyes to the world and all that sort of stuff.
It does. It's a true story.
It does bring out the best in people, I think.
And probably and horses as well, if you use that analogy. Yeah. And look, so potentially one more run this season, but look, he's a rising star for the spring. He has got what I said earlier, Jimmy, prominent sesamoids, which means that potentially it's probably an issue that he'll grow out of, but you can't push him too far too soon. It might cause a suspensory problem, but right now he's a real talent. The Tab Highway, Jim.
Yeah.
You always get a good story out of the Tab Highway. And yesterday, Michael Hewitt had brought
first city winner.
It was, yeah. He brought Sassaby down to run the Tab Highway earlier in the season, had no luck. but he didn't give up and came back yesterday, and at $41, Sasabe was just too good.
Racing to the turn, and Sumitro in front from Street Savvy and Savasana. Miss Tickles in the cheek pieces, 4D. Bexatoza behind them. Then came Sasabe. Now Galaxy Warrior's all strung up at the 300. He's looking to slice its way through the field. Sasabe makes the run and darts away inside the 200. Galaxy Warrior gets the run. Down the outside is Caribbean Concert. Sasabe in front from Galaxy Warrior. Sasabe in front, clinging on. Sasabe will beat Galaxy Warrior. Well, it would have gone close with Clearer running early. Caribbean Concert third, just in front of Oh So Unfair, hit the line well.
Where's Michael Hewitt from?
Musselbrook.
Musselbrook, okay. I played cricket with the Michael Hewitt from Wagga.
Okay.
Many, many, many years ago. But not obviously not him.
Be about your age, Jim.
Yeah, right. Is he a little fella?
No, he wasn't short.
Okay.
Dapper man wore a nice little hat yesterday.
There you go. So Sasabe. Interesting, where do they go? I mean, they just improve their benchmark rating, don't they, here, when they win these TAB Highway Handicaps? Mm. Yeah.
There was a very unlucky runner, though, yesterday, Jim, and this horse will be winning races in town. The runner-up, Galaxy Warrior, was held up behind runners until well into the straight. Look, you could, no fault of Sam Clench. He gave it a perfect ride to the home turn, just couldn't get out. He's a big horse, needs galloping room. No doubt he should have won. That's the luck of racing. It's definitely a horse to follow. Race 7, Jimmy, was a thrilling finish, this one. His Majesty looks certain to score, but High Midnight, the James Cummings Polish and Glenn Schofield, they're winning races all over the place. He wouldn't lie down.
Himalaya Dream comes to the turn, a length clear from Sapphire Apache. High Midnight close enough. His Majesty's pulling out, and then Spy Dakota into the straight. He sits very quietly on Himalaya Dream from High Midnight and His Majesty giving chase. It's Himalaya Dream in front. High Midnight and His Majesty are both bridging the gap, with His Majesty moving up on the outside of Himalaya Dream, and High Midnight's digging in now. It's His Majesty and Nick in front to High Midnight. His Majesty, High Midnight, drawing level. Nose and nose battle. High Midnight does best. High Midnight just beat His Majesty. Spy Dakota third and Faralinos.
You mentioned for Glenn Schofield and James Cummings, of course, the win last week for them with Prized Icon, and another win for them there. And Brent Navdala, he was pretty hard on himself.
Yeah, I thought he was.
In the way you wrote this morning, but redeemed himself very shortly afterwards.
Yeah, look, he said he didn't quite time his run on His Majesty, but gee, I thought he gave it every chance. And High Midnight just fought back and beat him. But he got it just right, as you mentioned, in the very next race with Hetty Heights.
Hardly ever just waiting for the runner. Then signposted from Awesome Sam, and Hetty Heights is looking to get into the clear. Rockalicious a length in front of it. Night Rocker is the leader from Painter, followed then by Rockalicious making ground. Hetty Heights is coming to the outside. Well, hardly ever looking for one closer to the inside, but Night Rocker still in front from Paint. Rockalicious, Hetty Heights. Night Rocker in front from Rockalicious. Hetty Heights drives the outside and got up to win it. Oh, big finish, Hetty Heights. I'd say she just nailed Night Rocker and Rockalicious. Then Paint from Awesome Sam and Zed.
Yeah, it was a big finish. I was on Paint on that one. But anyway, Hetty Heights got the money. There was a bit of, I think there was a bit of money around for Hetty Heights too, wasn't it? $4.20 ended up being the
firm
price.
Firm in betting, and good finish that. She might go to the Dark Jewel class. We'll ask Kim Waugh a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
His Majesty, potentially the Scone Cup. Possibly a race also for High Midnight on the way to Brisbane as well. So Scone Carnival is 3 weeks away. Hawkesbury next week, Jim.
Standalone at Hawkesbury. We've been to a few of those, haven't we, Raymond?
My favourite race meeting.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's a home game for you.
Brian Fletcher's last day as the CEO of Hawkesbury.
Oh, okay. Mm. How long has he been there in that
26
capacity?
26 years.
He's been CEO for 26 years. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now he's taking over as, is it, CEO of the Panthers
Group? He certainly is. He's doing that job now. So he's wearing two hats at the moment.
Okay.
So it'll be he was a man who introduced the standalone concept 11 years ago, Jimmy. It's gone
11.
That fast. 11 years, yes. He's the first standalone.
I think you met the great Bob the Bear O'Reilly out there one day, didn't you?
He shook his hand. World's biggest hands, isn't he?
World's biggest hands.
O'Reilly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where are we headed last up, Bowman?
Well, just the Queensland Winter Carnival's cranking up slowly. David Van Dyke's had an autumn carnival to remember. Mm. He struck again yesterday with Blake Spriggs in Look to the Stars.
Rides out is gone, then Multimedia, and Hey Hey My My back nearer the inside, but Look to the Stars at the 350 metre mark has raced up and taken the lead. The inside, Kim Nawaz about half a length away, Khabib 2.5 lengths away, Queen of Wands on the outside, but Look to the Stars, she's in front. Kim Nawaz trying to kick back, Look to the Stars, a neck in front of Kim Nawaz, Look to the Stars in front, Queen of Wands flashing home on the outside, Look to the Stars in front, and Look to the Stars has just won from Queen of Wands. Third might be Sahara Siren out. Why? But Khabib's up there with Kim Nawaz.
Good tough win, Look to the Stars. Not the biggest horse, but she held on to win the Princess Stakes. Nice run, Queen of Wands, Jimmy.
And Queen of Wands was the favourite going into that
heading
race.
Heading towards the Oaks.
Yeah, right, heading towards the Oaks. Okay.
Really good run. But Look to the Stars. As I said, David Van Dyke's had a fantastic autumn carnival, and he'll be moving to Queensland shortly, so he's got his little Queensland sojourn for the winter off to a winning start, Jimmy.
He's moving to Queensland, not full-time.
Yes.
Is he?
He's going to pack up and leave Warwick Farm and will set up stables at the Sunshine Coast and start training there from August 1.
What's encouraged him to do that?
Lifestyle choice.
Okay.
Yeah, and it looks like he'll be able to keep most of his good horses. Yankee Rose, the owners have told David they're happy to leave the horse with him, so he'll be doing a fair bit of travelling, and we'll be seeing him a lot in Sydney and Melbourne during the carnivals. But interesting move. But he believes he can be top five minimum in the Brisbane Premiership out of the Sunshine Coast.
Okay. Well, it's not a dress rehearsal, is it?
You
only get the one chance. Morning, guys. What is the word on Adam Reynolds? Also, effort better, but completion rate killed us. That's Darren from Macquarie Fields. We're going to try and get an update on that one. Look, I don't know it was such a bad incident, but it looked like it could have been a bad injury, if you understand what I mean by that one. It was one of those situations where it was Adam Blair's head that struck Adam Reynolds. And
the jaw again.
Yeah, that just coming back from the broken jaw, that's a concern. Now, we're talking about the boycotts and or athletes not going to represent their country. Tracy Wickham said no to the 1980 Olympics, and Michelle Ford got the gold.
That's in the 800, wasn't it, I think, Jim, by memory, yeah.
Was it the 800?
800 free, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Tommy Carroll wouldn't go to South Africa to surf, cost him at least one world title. And
I
didn't know that either. Oliver McCall said, no, I don't want to fight during his world title bout against Lennox Lewis. Thank you, Jack from Old Bar.
Wasn't that Roberto Duran who famously said, was it no mass?
No mass.
Yeah, against Sugar Ray Leonard, one of the great fighters of all time. Here's one too here, Jimmy. Ray, love your racing knowledge and commentary, but please put your hand on a player for a tackle. You are kidding. Leave the NRL to Jimmy and those who know the game. Bob from Merriweather.
Bob.
Is Bob a Deep Purple fan? We'll give Bob a CD.
Just hang on. You're going to encourage everyone to ring up and bag, yeah?
No. I've got to play it fair. It's Bob's opinion. So
Deep Purple, him out two
to the
CDs.
Rising
send
Sun
him out two
Tokyo,
CDs.
Bob, because he gave you a rap.
Exactly. Okay. Well, now, just to confirm, you actually can say that someone's tackled by putting the hand on them.
That's all I was trying to say.
I mean, in the law book, that's
it. I wasn't saying he could have just basically grabbed the player, all I was saying was literally a hand on that player would have affected the tackle. That's
right.
All I was saying.
Yeah, we understand that. All right. So two CDs coming your way.
Well, they're pretty contrasting, Jim.
What are they? What are we going with here?
What has producer Jeremy done? But anyway, Deep Purple to the Rising Sun in Tokyo.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I understand that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Dami Im.
Okay. Is it Demi Im?
I don't know. Demi or Dami?
Don't know. She was on one of those singing contests, wasn't she?
Was she on Idol or something?
Was Idol, was it?
She's singing classic Carpenters. So, look, I don't know what Bob from Merriweather's music tastes are. We might have him covered in those two extremes.
Yeah, and apparently, look, I'm just getting this update from producer Tanya, who appears to be our music correspondent.
She's going to represent
Australia at a Eurovision contest too.
Is she?
No, Tanya's not representing him. Yeah, actually, as a surprise in the third hour, Ray, Tanya's going to come and sing the news, so we can look forward to that one. Seeing her sports update. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get a break, get this show back on track.
During the Australian Turf Club's Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio captured every magic moment.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of a gun. The mare races to the lead.
At the furlong, it was nearly all over. I went from the outhouse to the penthouse in about 200 metres.
Hawkesbury on April 30, then the Scone Carnival in May. All the excitement of New South Wales Autumn Racing is right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
A
As we approach the anniversary of the landing at Gallipoli, Sky Sports Radio is proud to honour the memory of those who served our country with this Anzac story.
In 1914, the cable reports from Europe gave an increasingly desperate forecast. Europe was teetering towards war in a conflict between an increasingly stronger and powerful German Empire and the rival British, French and Russian alliance. As Britain returned to work after the August bank holiday, war was declared on Germany, and the declaration involved the whole British Empire. Australia's Prime Minister, Joseph Cook, stated, "If the old country is at war, so are we." Australia was in the middle of an election campaign. The opposition leader, Andrew Fisher, promised Great Britain, "Our last man and our last shilling in any conflict." And the Prime Minister responded, "Our duty is quite clear, to gird up our loins and remember that we are Britons." There was almost jubilation at the outbreak of war. Most thought that the war would all be over by Christmas, and men rushed to recruiting centres because they didn't want to miss the excitement and adventure. Canada offered 30,000 men, Australia 20,000, and New Zealand already had compulsory military training. In Australia, recruiting began within days of the declaration of war. Those who were too young raised their ages and were known as boy soldiers.
Keep listening to Sky Sports Radio for more Anzac stories.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Well, this man had a good day yesterday, Jimmy. Oh, four winners.
This bloke has good days all the time. Did I tell you I saw him last Saturday? And you know what he was fraternising with? Self-described plebs.
Really?
In the members area at the at Randwick Racecourse. Yeah.
He would have been in a good mood. I've never seen this man in a bad mood.
Well, we might have turned him into a bad mood just on the back basis of that comment.
Oh, he's been good enough to join us, Brian O'Byrne. Good morning and congratulations on a good day. Yesterday, four winners, two at Kembla, imposing less impressive at Rose Hill and winning Rupert. Nice horse at the Sunshine Coast. Good morning, Byrne.
Morning, Ray. Thanks for having me. I'm still waiting for that beer too, Jimmy. It never turned up.
He's a hard man to get.
Quick.
You might be waiting a while before that beer.
I hope you're patient, Bjorn. Come on, you Kiwis know what it's like. I've played sport with enough Kiwis.
What do they say? Short arms, long pockets.
Oh, very, very careful with their money. Very, very careful.
So good winning a race at the ATC. After the race, I'm happy to get anyone in, I know, is my shout. At least for one race.
Very good. Only the fourth start for Imposing Lass. And based on that performance yesterday and, of course, the performance beforehand where the four-length win, she's got a fair bit of ability, Bern.
Yeah, she has. And I must say, she's got a lovely nature. She's a big, strong filly, and she's got a really good pedigree. On pedigree-wise, she should stay all day. Any cut in the track shouldn't be too much of a problem, too. So I'm excited in terms of, I thought yesterday was always going to be a huge challenge. Saturday's Sydney City's always very, very tough. So I'm excited, and she's sort of, we'll definitely have to look up north towards Brisbane.
And so she's heading towards the Oaks then, Bjorn, if give her a chance to progress through the grades and distances?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I'd love to get her there. And I think she's a very exciting filly, and she seems to do it effortlessly when she's sort of out in front and bowling along. So I think she's got a big future. She's got the temperament to pull it off too.
1,500 yesterday, and given the breeding that you've touched on, Bjorn, what do you think is a distance that's going to suit her best?
2,400 at Eagle Farm.
Yeah, right. sounds very locked in, that.
Oh, we'll just get her. We can get any black type with her. It's a bonus.
Sure.
Full sister, actually. My Murray and Andrew trained the full sister in New Zealand, and she won really well as a two-year-old last week. So
okay.
That works out.
Well, Bjorni,
on the speed as well.
Yeah, no, she does make her own luck, doesn't she, which is a bonus. Bjorn, you had a couple of protests yesterday involving your runners. Both went your way, winning Rupert and Invincible Dane. You have those days when the luck just rolls your way, Bjorn?
Yeah, it does. I watched Invincible Dane's race because it was all happening so quick. Races sort of back-to-back. I was pleasantly surprised, disappointed initially, but then surprised. And then winning Rupert, holding on, and I haven't really seen the replay of him yet, so I can't really comment on it. But it's, yeah, sometimes you need the ball to bounce your way, that happens.
How are you handling with all these runners around, you know, different venues at the same time, Bjorn, and the reliance that you have on other people to get very important jobs done?
Oh, it's busy, and I like being busy, there's no doubt about it. But I've got a really good team. Like, even John travelled away with the horses yesterday. He's, like, he's had a background of working for Mike Decock.
Mm.
And the selfish thing about Mike is his teeth. So he's got a pretty good grounding. So I can be as hard as I want to. That's in Dubai. And like, so I've got my racing manager, Jack. He did the Daly Flying Start. And he's a good Kiwi from Cambridge. So he's got a pedigree.
Mm.
And I've got my foreman, Jason Patrick, and he's there every day. He gets at the stables at, I think, 2:30 or 3. So, yeah, you rely on these people, but my core group is really unreal. We've got great track riders, Justin Sheehan and Lenny Beasley and things like that. So I'm lucky. I've got really good people around me, and that helps. And you can't do it without them because it is a labour-intensive job, as you touched on.
That's true, yeah. And I know Chris Waller always talks about the systems being in place and working. They're working for you this season, Bjorn, with your four winners yesterday, including a really nice horse at Kembla. I was going to ask you about Hendrix. You've gone to 96 wins already for the season, so you'll break the 100 for the first time. As I said, mate, the system's working.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's good fun. I remember coming here and it's pretty tough to get going. And Ray, you've always been a great supporter, so I appreciate that too. Sort of everything adds up. But Hendrix is a horse I've always had a big opinion of. And he's been immature, even when you watch yesterday, he's still a bit immature. And he, yesterday he might finally be putting it together.
Yeah, you put a margin on him late. He's a nice horse.
Who do you learn from, Bjorn? Obviously, your father's going to have a heavy influence on you, Murray. But, you know, you mentioned Chris Waller there, another New Zealander. Who are the people you learn from within the industry, and who are the people you look to outside the industry?
Oh, I looked to you last week, Jimmy, and running.
You can do better, Bjorn, I've got to say. You can do much better.
Oh, no, I don't know, Murray, obviously, is a huge, we're best mates, we talk every day, and
right,
he's quick to give advice, and so am I, and I try and cut my own path to a degree. I do things different to probably what others do, and I'm all about trying to run efficient and sharp operation, and thankfully I've got the staff to do it, so things go well outside of the industry. I love all my owners, and I'm looking for more, Jimmy. I've got plenty of space there at Warren Farm.
Well, Jimmy and I are going to race.
This is not an opportunity for you to do an ad for yourself, you realise, Bjorn.
Well, Bjorn, Jimmy and I have always said we'd race a horse together one day.
Yeah.
So we'll all do that. Bjorn,
I don't know if I have that much space.
Can you imagine the daily phone calls from me?
That'd drive you mad. Hey, Bjorn, one of the features this season has been your ability to place horses where they can win, which is so important for every owner. You send your horses everywhere to win, but there's a horse I've been watching out in the bush regions of yours which keeps winning, and he keeps winning like a city class horse, a horse by name of Sir Plush.
Yeah, he's I've got a good opinion of him, and he's got a great owner in Maury McLeod. He race pins, and he's a champion. So sort of, I guess we started him off in the city and it didn't quite work out. We took him back to the country and he's going super. But he's probably going to have to step up next time. So we're going to nominate for better races. He's won three in a row. And hopefully he'll come into the city and carry his form forward.
Bjorn, there was a time when I used to see you on Thoroughbred Weekly after this program every Sunday morning, but you haven't been there for a while. Did you get ditched from that program?
Yeah, Richard Friedman got me sacked.
What did Richard do? I mean, I'm not surprised by that, but what did he do in this on this occasion?
I'm not getting involved in the nitty-gritty of it, but I just heard the word that he got me sacked. I'm only joking. It's just one. To be honest, I loved it. It's good fun, and we used to have, like, those guys were great.
Mm.
Including Richard, and they're super smart, and it was a lot of fun. But just particularly coming through the start of the year, you've got sales on and so much happening that it wasn't logistically possible.
Sure, sure.
Well, you're concentrating on where you need to at the moment, Pjern. 10 winners from your last 15 runners, which is an amazing strike rate. The stable is flying, and we appreciate, again, you coming on the show bright and early on a Sunday morning. Thanks so much, Pjern.
Mm.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Oh. Hey, Jimmy, sad about Tui Vasa, eh?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I see where he thought maybe 6 or 7 weeks and out for the season. He's a very special player.
Know. He's trialling on Friday. He's by Stratum. He goes good.
Oh, okay. The other two of us. Yeah, let's hope two of us stay sound, unlike his namesake. Pjern Baker. Great to have him on the program. I tell you what, if he does get a beer out of me, it was done well. Very hard.
Get you a race
very hard
horse,
to get blood out of a stone. 1353 53 53 is the open line number. We've got a big program to continue after the 7 o'clock news. Kim Waugh, Kristen Buchanan, we've got our event cinema quiz. Would you believe we're late? Our first
As
one,
As always,
right?
Jim.
We'll also get the opportunity to take your calls on 1353 53 53. The other one mentioned about not taking part was Jamie Lyon. He refused to turn out for New South Wales a number of years. Yeah. So we'll take more calls of those after the news. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
Fears of European terror attacks appear to have hit crowd numbers for Anzac commemorations at Villers-Bretonneux. Last year's dawn service at the French site attracted 6,500 visitors, but so far this year only 2,700 have registered for Monday's service. Organisers remain positive, noting that early registrations in the past have sometimes accounted for less than half the people who actually attend. Meanwhile, Anzac Day at home should be mild and sunny in most of the country's capitals this year. Thousands are expected to flock to dawn services, gunfire, breakfasts and marches on Monday, and the Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting damp conditions in only Brisbane and Perth. Two men have been charged over the rape of a 12-year-old girl that they approached at a beach in Sydney's north. It's alleged the girl was approached at Freshwater Beach yesterday afternoon by the men in their 20s, who then drove her to Brookvale and sexually assaulted her. Both have been denied bail and will remain in custody ahead of an appearance at Central Local Court on Thursday. Clive Palmer says his engineers may have found a way to turn his tailings dam at the failed Queensland nickel refinery into dollars and jobs. Mr. Palmer told the ABC the iron from the dam can be extracted and sold to the steel industry.
The water's just sitting on the top of a whole lot of tailings underneath, which is solid material, which contains 42% iron. And, you know, we're not paying anything for the raw material. And, you know, it sells for up to about $300 a tonne. So we think we can do pretty well.
This week, Queensland passed laws to ensure companies would be held responsible for the environmental cleanup of failed ventures like the nickel mine. Law enforcement in Ohio is investigating what they describe as a horrible, horrible tragedy, where 8 people were found killed in Pike County. A local minister describes the victims as all members of the same family. Tom Kennedy is a reporter with the WZMO radio in Marion, Ohio, near the location of the mass murder.
The FBI and the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation are on a grisly scene in the U.S. state of Ohio. 8 murder victims have been found at 4 locations in Pike County, Ohio, a rural county 70 miles south of the state capital of Columbus. The victims include 2 children. 7 of the victims were murdered execution style. At least 4 were shot to death. No arrests have been made, and it is unknown at this time if the killer is among the dead. No motive has been established.
The jihadist group Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the killing of a liberal university professor in Bangladesh. Two assailants on a motorcycle attacked Rasul Karim Siddiqui, slitting his throat and hacking him to death while he was reportedly waiting for a bus to the Rajshahi University. Islamic State is claiming responsibility for the killing of the professor because he called for atheism. Ecuador's President Rafael Correa says the death toll from last week's magnitude 7.8 earthquake has now reached almost 650 people. Last Saturday's quake, the worst in nearly seven decades, injured around 12,500 and left 130 missing along the country's ravaged Pacific coast. Also in news, a bail application by the Australian-British man accused of organising a botched child recovery operation in Lebanon has been postponed until next week. This is AIR News. The New South Wales Waratahs have revived their finals hopes with a 49-13 demolition of the Western Force in the Super Rugby. The Force closed the margin to 7 points in the 53rd minute before conceding the final four tries of the match to slump to their seventh defeat. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have consolidated their position at the top of the ladder, hanging on for a 28-27 win over the Hurricanes. Today, the Brumbies host the Crusaders in Canberra. The semi-final stage is set for another enthralling chapter in the A-League today with the deciding semi between Western Sydney Wanderers and Brisbane Roar. The second-placed Wanderers finished their regular season ahead of the Roar only on goal difference, but their home record is formidable, having never conceded a goal in six knockout phase games in the A-League or Asian Champions League. Already through to the grand final is Adelaide United after their 4-1 thumping of Melbourne City. Canberra have handed West Tigers their sixth straight NRL loss and biggest of the season by far, with a brutal 66 win at GIO Stadium. Hooker Josh Hodgson was a standout with four try assists and influence in the ruck, justifying his lead in the Dally M medal count heading into this round. And in AFL, Joel Selwood's class through the midfield has inspired Geelong to a 48-point trouncing of Port Adelaide. The Eagles lost to Sydney by 39 points. North Melbourne went five straight with a win over the Gold Coast. And Western Bulldogs beat Brisbane by 53 points. Australian Independent Radio News.
During the Australian Turf Club's Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio captured every magic moment.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of a gun. The mare races to the lead.
At the furlong, it was nearly all over. I went from the outhouse to the penthouse in about 200 metres.
Hawkesbury on April 30, then the Scone Carnival in May. All the excitement of New South Wales Autumn Racing is right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, now's the time to talk about Paloma gas heaters at Bingley.
No, I can't even think about winter yet.
But we've got the latest range of fully automatic, high-performance Paloma gas heaters. Imagine having one ready to turn on when the first cold snap hits.
Okay, now I'm thinking about winter.
And you'll get a bonus Bingley card up to $150 when you buy a Paloma heater.
You can use the bonus card anywhere in your store.
But it's only for a limited time.
It's a great deal.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Card expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au for details.
Are you ready for the 2016 Emirates Park Scone Cup Carnival? Friday, May 13th features the Cup and the English 2-year-old challenge. Saturday, the 14th is Scone's standalone race day, highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas and the Daly Dark Jewel Classic.
Plus fashion, music, fun and the finest hospitality.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and be trackside at Scone for city class racing country style. May 13 and 14.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, a cloudy morning with a 50% chance of showers, but clearing up in the afternoon, fingers crossed. Possible rainfall, 0 to 2 mil, so not a lot more to come. Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees. And Jimmy, after much thought, here we go. What about it? Cremorne and Cobar.
Cremorne is going to have a maximum of 23 degrees, very similar to Sydney, in fact, which is going to be surprising to a lot of people. But sunny out at Cobar and a maximum of 25 degrees.
Well, this has been good golf. Jason Day, a phenomenal talent and a major champion.
Switch your play now. Foley, inside ball to Beal!
To the week. weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Look, I mentioned that the last hour was a big hour. This hour, though, Raymond, wow.
Massive, Jim.
Huge. Gargantuan, in fact. Kim Waugh up very shortly. Kristen Buchanan got the favourite, not the favourite, one of the runners in the Tamworth Cup. Andy Pascalidis from the world of football. We'll have our Z&Z quiz. And, of course, you can win the watch of your choice in the team colours of your choice. And we'll have a chat with Zorba about all the things going on in the world of rugby league. What we haven't got is our first question for our Event Cinemas quiz. And this is a double pass to the VMAX theatres.
Outstanding, Jim.
Not VMAX theatres everywhere around New South Wales, but wherever there is one, these tickets will allow you to go. It's a double pass there, all courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Mark and the team there, very generous of them to provide that every Sunday morning. So our first question is, who got Bjorn Baker sacked from Thoroughbred Weekly? We heard it earlier on the program. Who got Bjorn Baker sacked?
I think we might get a phone call from you-know-who very shortly.
Well, he wanders in here about... well, the show's on at 9. He wanders in at about 10 to 9, so we might get a word out of him at that point as well. So 13:53:53. Wait till you get your third question in the Event Cinemas quiz.
Yes, and yesterday, Jimmy, this lady went so, so close to leading in a double in successive races. His Majesty just beaten on the line by High Midnight.
Mm.
But then in the next race, her runner, Hetty Heights, the little mare, did get up on the line to win.
Stable in form.
Stable in great form.
Mm.
And Kim's been good enough to join us on the Sunday morning, bright and early. Kim, good morning. Congratulations. And that was one of those days when, gee, it was a great day, but could have been even better.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Yes, it could have been a fantastic day. It was very exciting, but we did think Majesty was home at the furlong. He looked like he was
traveling,
but
yeah.
Wasn't meant to be.
Mm. Hey, Kim, let's go to His Majesty first up. And I think Brenton was pretty hard on himself after the race. Did you agree with those sentiments that he expressed?
Look, he's most probably correct. And look, jockeys don't normally like to say things if they don't think wrong. But
yeah.
I was happy. Looking at the race face value, it looked like he had the most beautiful run. And but he said he did have to come out a little bit earlier than what he liked. He was most probably a bit closer than what we expected. He jumped brilliantly. He actually was a neck in front of the field at one stage. And he said he really was strong. He had to drag him back to get there. And we've been intentionally riding him a bit quieter just to teach him to settle because that's what he can do.
Right.
And he's been beautiful. But we wanted him a bit closer yesterday because they weren't coming from a long way back. But we thought he'd be about midfield. So he's measured a couple of lengths closer than what we expected.
Right.
And it got him sort of trucking along a bit. And then he had to come out a bit early. There was a few things, and he really did have a big blow after the race. So, I think there's been a few excuses for him, really.
Mm.
Scone Cup next for His Majesty, Kim?
Yeah, I think just talking to the owners, that's our plan at this stage. I think we'll definitely most probably go there. He's pulled up well this morning. He's pretty bright, so even though he had a bit of a tough run.
Mm. So let's go to the winner there, Hetty Heights, and it's as much to do with the attitude of the horse as it is with the talent of the horse. Is that right, Kim?
Oh, definitely. She's a little monster. She's hard work on the ground. Most beautiful ride. Once they're on top of her, they love her. But on the ground every day, she just cannot drop your guard around her. Every time she's got an opportunity to bite or kick someone, she does it.
Right,
she. But even saddling up at the races, you've got to be so careful with her. But I think that's why she's so gutsy.
Mm.
She's just got this unbelievable will to win. And even when horses come at her, she lays her ear back at them, she's a nice mare.
Hey, Kim, is that a cliche? We often hear about great mares who have a bit of attitude about them. Is it a cliche or is it fact?
Well, I think it's, I mean, say a horse like Camilty, she was a real professional too, and she could get quite cranky.
Mm.
You most probably do like to see a bit of that in them, but they seem to give them a bit more will, you know, and they seem to be more a bit tougher or gutsy, you know. But this Hetty Heights, honestly, you just know if she's in a tussle, she'll be winning it because... Mm. She just puts her ears back, head down, and she doesn't give up. I think it's pretty true, right?
I've got a daughter like that. She's two.
You can't say that.
She's
Jim.
Two. She's like that. I swear to God, she's like that.
Well, you're going to be in trouble.
Oh, exactly. Tell me about it, Kim. I've seen the future.
He'd be a hard father, wouldn't he?
No, seriously, you say, Avery, get in your chair. She'll say no. So you do. You can't say that. None of the boys said that. Anyway, so you've got to ride a cold, and then she's got this short, sharp sprint that she can unleash, Kim.
Yeah, she's got a brilliant sprint. And they're very similar horses, His Majesty and her. You know, they both sort of got this, you don't push them too much early, and they've got this brilliant sprint. Like the times they ran in the championship final was the fastest of the day, the two of them, you know, because they sort of were, well, they ended up back last, a long way last, so it was just a bit of a nightmare, but, they both have got brilliant strength, both of them, and it's a really, it's a big advantage to have that in any race, you know, you can get away with a bit slower pace and things like that because you still know that they've got that turn of foot, so, I think she's going to... She'll most probably win a nice race.
The Dark Jewel Classic, perhaps, Kim? It's going?
Yes, that's where she'll go now. You know, I said if she won yesterday, she'd earn a place there, so that's where she'll definitely head, and I think she'll be very, very competitive in that race.
Kim, always great to talk. We've done it a fair few times now. As we mentioned, it's a stable in some great form. Appreciate your time early on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Kim.
Kim Waugh there, a winner yesterday and a very close second too with His Majesty and Brenton Abdullah on board for both rides.
And Brenton Abdullah did a good job, didn't he, Jim? Because on Thursday, did you see the fall?
I didn't see the fall, but I heard about it and I heard that he went, intensive physiotherapy?
He did, yeah. He won the first three races and then after his third win, just crossing the line, it was a fall when he...
Was that a lap?
No, it'll come to me in a sec. Anyway, in his words, shoulder charged the turf, then got clipped by a rival runner coming from behind. So he wrapped himself up into a little ball. So he was fortunate to avoid, serious injury. But he did have some bruising to his shoulder, and he was pretty stiff and sore on Friday morning. But he was pretty confident he'd get to the races and ride, which he did. And he won the last two races on Hetty Heights and also Palazzo Publico. And he, at the moment, is a tearaway leader in the New South Wales Jockeys Premiership. He's riding in career best and he's riding everywhere and riding in great form.
Brings to the fore that great saying, isn't it? It's not the will to win, it's the will to prepare to win. And he's going those extra... And I don't know, heaps of jockeys do it and across all sports and across everywhere in life. But it just, that just gives you a snapshot of what people are prepared to do just to participate. And if you're not participating, you can't win.
Yeah, Ajita, name of the horse.
Ajita. Yeah, started with A. My failure to turn up would be West Tigers refused to turn up yesterday's game against the Raiders. That's Brett from Broadbury sending it in. Appreciate that one. Craig Stevens said no to the 400 metres at the Athens Olympics to allow Ian Thorpe to defend his gold medal. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil. That's a good one. Yeah. Well spotted, Eagle-Eyed Phil. Jimmy and Ray, Yelena Dokic became the youngest player to represent Australia in the Federation Cup in 1998 and then changed her nationality to Yugoslavian in 2001 to play for them. Come 2005, had a change of heart and returns to Oz to rebuild her career under the Aussie flag. Better the devil you know, I say. That's John from Moorbank.
And perhaps the most famous one of all, this one is from Tim Sportsman's Boycotts, Muhammad Ali refusing to fight in Vietnam. Tim calls him a coward, but... I don't know about that.
I'm glad you read that out. I can't agree with that sentiment,
I don't,
Tim.
Agree with it.
There's that famous line from Muhammad Ali.
Which was?
I can't repeat it. But
okay.
Yeah. But it goes to the
he
heart.
Set up for his
it goes to the heart of why he didn't go to Vietnam and why he stayed in the United States.
And he lost a lot out of that, Jim. He lost 3 years of his career. He was ostracized from a lot of mainstream society.
Absolutely. Stripped of his title.
Yes.
In his prime.
Almost went to prison and lost, as you said, the best 3 years of his boxing career.
Yep.
So As I said, if you go to Louisville and you go to the Muhammad Ali Center, you can spend 5-6 hours there, Jim, and still not read and see everything. It is amazing.
There's a lot of great cities on the planet. The way Ray Thomas is going on about Louisville, I swear to God, you must be getting commissioned from the
there's a couple of great
Louisville.
There's also the Louisville Slugger Museum,
baseball
museum, which is fantastic. Of course, it's the home of Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Nearby, you've got some of the best horse studs in the world, and I'm rambling on. Sorry, Jim.
Time for a break.
Sky Sports Radio honours all Australians who have and continue to serve at home and overseas. Tributes will be paid at all New South Wales race meetings on Monday. Anzac Day morning, get the latest on Royal Randwick, Gosford and Bathurst with Ray Thomas and Paul Joyce from 6:30. Right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Are you ready for the 2016 Emirates Park Scone Cup Carnival? Friday, May 13th features the Cup and the English 2-year-old challenge. Saturday, the 14th is Scone's standalone race day, highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas and the Darley Dark Jewel Classic.
Plus fashion, music, fun and the finest hospitality.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and be trackside at Scone for city class racing country style. May 13 and 14.
ZNZ Jewels, by the way, ZNZ Quiz coming up pretty soon. They've been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. ZNZ were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. So if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See Alan and the team at ZNZ Westwood Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. That is ZEDNZED.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Junior Referees.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And Jimmy, just before we go to Kristen Buchanan, a couple of other SMSs. Hey James, 7 weeks in and the Bondi hens are still stone motherless last. It makes me very, very happy. That's a lovely Sophie at Strathfield. Love to send Sophie out a CD, but she doesn't like them. So anyway.
You know, he tweeted me.
She tweeted you?
Yesterday, Sophie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he tweeted me. Wasn't very complimentary, which I'm not surprised at, but yeah, that's right. When you go to ring Sophie from Strathfield, and I'm saying that in inverted commas.
Come on, Jim, you're nice.
He never answers his phone.
She is, anyway. Ron Coote didn't tour in the early 1970s because he bought a concrete truck. It's from Paul, is that right?
I
he might have bought a...
I vaguely remember him telling a story about once how he bought a truck. I don't know that he didn't tour.
He'd be a great legend.
Absolutely. Well, I think he spends a lot of time down on the south coast now. I think he's got a farm down on the south coast.
Okay.
And he grows beef cattle.
This one from Don from Carlton. There is more chance of Wayne Bennett endorsing Golden Point extra time than there is of Baker getting shouted a beer by Jimmy Smith.
Who's that from?
That's from Don from Carlton. I'd love to send him out a CD too, but of course he just sends him straight back. That's a good one. He's a good friend of yours, isn't he, Don from Carlton?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so. I think that's gilding the lily a bit.
And here's one I didn't know. This is from Michelle from Dubbo. Hi, guys. Is the rumour correct that Apache Cat will be making a guest appearance at Cobar Races in May? The great Apache Cat.
Have you heard anything about
that? I haven't, so I'll be on to that, Michelle.
There we go. We might have got a scoop out of Michelle.
What about a CD from Michelle?
Yeah, fair enough.
What about, this is different, Marina Pryor and Mark Vincent, a CD called Together. Jimmy's desperate to listen to that one. That's coming your way, Michelle.
All courtesy of Sony Music, of course, too. Big thank you to our sponsors, Sony Music.
Yeah, and look, we've kept Kristen Buchanan waiting for too long. She's on the way to Tamworth for the Tamworth Cup and Lucky News today. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah, terrific. Kristen, thanks for joining us. And, well, firstly, how is Lucky News? And secondly, what are you going to do about the barrier?
Look, she's very well. She ate up last night and she's ready to go. So she'll be leaving. We're on our way now, but she'll be coming up at about 10:30 this morning because she's not standing at the races too long.
Yeah.
The barrier. We've been very lucky the last 4 starts. She's had nice gates and she's used them well and have really good run. But we're going to need a bit of luck today to make things work. There are pairs outside us and I'm thinking they may go forward. my mare's got terrific gait speed, so we may use that. We're gonna have to hit the ground and see what happens, I think, because they all kick up hard. You know, you don't want to waste too much petrol early, but she tends to jump a length in front, and if she could slide across and be comfortable and get some cover, that would be ideal. But whether that can pan out and running or not, we'll have to wait and see.
So there's plan A.
That's plan A.
Is there plan B, C, and D?
Molly's really going to earn her money today. Pull it off.
And how do you do that, Kristen? Do you, you've spoken about the ideal start there, but do you just, in discussions with the jock, do you leave that up to her? How are you going to work that?
Well, basically, I mean, she's out there. She's riding the mare. I know what the mare's like. I've had her for a long time. She used to be very fierce, so if you got going early, she wouldn't come back to you. These days, she's mellowed out a lot. So fortunately, that means your rider can make some adjustments in running. You know, she will come back under you and settle. So I think I'll give her the leeway to make a decision out there, but the horse will be positive from the gate. That's just her. And then what she does in the next 50 metres or 100 metres will decide where she is. But she doesn't have to be as far forward. You know, if there's good pace, she can settle back as long as she's got a bit of cover and can get out. I'm not too worried about it. At least she won't, wouldn't think she's going to get bottled up on the rail anyway, would you?
That's exactly right, Chris. We'll be taking a mare who's in great form to Tamworth, and she won the Cup Prelude there last start on April 4. I must admit, Chris, and I haven't been back home for a while, so I haven't seen the new track, but you're telling me the new surface here at Tamworth is an outstanding racing surface.
Yeah, I was very impressed with it. I mean, obviously, when your horses go well, you're happy, but she pulled up very well. You know, there was no jar in her legs or anything like that. It looked terrific. I had a bit of a walk earlier in the day, and it seems like a terrific surface. I haven't been out there for, probably 3 or 4 years prior to that, so I'm certainly a huge difference. And, yeah, they give themselves a pat in the back. So I'm more than happy to take the horses out there to race on surfaces like that.
You take them anywhere, though, Kristen, don't you? You travel all around the countryside, literally.
Well, I avoid some tracks that are close to me because I don't think they're any good. So I will go where I think the horses can win, but also I like to try and make sure that they're going to be safe and come home in one piece.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Kristen, the stable's having a great run, and of course, Two Blue was such a great winner for you during the championships. Is it still the plan to take her to the Hawkesbury standalone for the Godolphin Crown next Saturday?
Yes, that's a plan at this stage, and then we'll head to Queensland shortly after that. We may have a tilt at the BTC Cup.
Right, okay.
But we've got a lot of options up there, so there's certainly no rush to do that. We're just still working things out with our owners and connections. That's exactly what we're doing, but we're not going to be going to South Australia. We're definitely going to go with the Darley Crown and then head north.
And Two Blue, we just spoke to Kim Waugh, but I think... Two Blue and Hetty Heights had that trial earlier in this preparation, and as a result of that, the form coming out of that's been fantastic, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was a terrific, terrific trial, and obviously her mare's doing very, very well. I actually listened to her interview, so I'm not sure where she's going with her. I'd say that she'd be in contention to head north as well. By the looks of how she's going.
Scone first.
Yeah,
Scone first?
Yeah.
Scone first. Very good. Well, I'm not going to Scone.
You can avoid each other for the time being.
Come on, we want the batch race.
Look, terrific.
All right, plenty of time for that. We can share the love.
Yeah, exactly,
It'd be nice for us all to have winners from Wyong.
Exactly,
The new facilities there, you know, with the pool and everything, it's just made such a huge difference. So, my preparation for Two Blue, it's a terrific place to train.
Yeah. Well, the results are certainly there, Kristen. And look, we know you're on the way to Tamworth for Tamworth Cup Day today. We appreciate you taking time to take our call, and safe driving and the best of luck this afternoon with Lucky News.
Thank you.
There she is, Kristen Buchanan. She has got one of the runners today with that wide barrier, Lucky News, in the Carlton Mid Tamworth Cup. Are you going to give us a tip a little bit later when Tan gives us the scratchings?
Yes.
Okay, we can look forward to that. 1353 53 is the open line number. I picked the West Tigers with plus 6.5 on every pick the winner's ticket. They got whacked by Canberra by 60-6. It's going to pay at least $300, missed by half a point. Okay, I think if you add the two numbers together, you get 66. Mm. But apart from that, yes, you just missed. Cheers, guys. Hope the rumour is correct. I love the cat. That's Michelle from Dubbo. There you go. We do appreciate that. We do have an intruder, Ray, just if you look to the side there.
Richard, I thought you might pop in and say hello.
Well, we thought you usually see him lurking around. He usually gets ready at about 10 minutes.
I dare say
to
Richard
nine.
Might want to put his little take on this story.
And, of course, if you heard it, it's going to give away our question, of course, about... Who got Bjorn Baker sacked?
No, it hasn't.
Because
hello, Richard. Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray. Because you don't have the answer.
Are you saying that he lied on radio?
So I'm telling you this. Right? The first I knew Bjorn Baker wasn't on Thoroughbred Weekly was when I walked in and said, "Where's Bjorn?" And they said, "He doesn't come anymore."
Right.
So if you two think that I haven't enough power to get Bjorn Baker sacked from the station, I'll be very worried if I were you two.
Yeah, but you don't do it overtly, do you?
Yeah. What do you mean overtly? I don't do it at all.
No, you're one of those guys, and you find out a year later, you said, Friedman was saying all this stuff about you. Aren't you one of those
guys? I don't know who got this rumour started, but I'm killing it right here. I had nothing to do. I don't even think he got sacked. I think he left.
So what you're saying, Richard, you weren't listening in the car on the way in this morning?
No, maybe, perhaps.
Right.
I turned it on. How lucky was I? I turned it on to listen to that rubbish. It came on, and like 1 second later, I guess who got Bjorn Baker sacked? Well, not me.
All right, can you give us any insight into who did get him sacked then?
No, I don't think he was sacked. I think he left. I think he said, "I've had enough of this. I'm not doing it anymore."
He gave you all the rap, actually. He gave you all the rap. No, he was very positive.
He did set the record straight towards the end of the interview.
He was very tongue-in-cheek.
Was he?
Very tongue-in-cheek, yes.
I asked for his number last night, and I have it now.
Oh, okay. So watch out, Bjorn. Now, who have you got coming up on Thoroughbred Weekly after 9 o'clock?
Well, there's me, and there's Greg Bradley.
How's your preparation been for the program?
Hey, listen, I'm here to do it.
Okay.
I'm off now.
Thank you, Richard. Richard Freeman there. So you might have the first answer to our event cinemas
that's
quiz.
Okay.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Hey, we better go to a caller here too. Bob's on the line, wants to talk about the salary cap. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. It's so sad that Bjorn got sacked.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Can't Bjorn's going to run with this, isn't he? Yeah.
People would do anything to hold back talent.
Absolutely, Bob.
Now, I think the biggest problem with the salary cap is that it really can't be managed.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many ways. So what I'm going to suggest, and I've heard it suggested before, is that teams get allocated 300 points. But you don't make it discriminatory. In other words, you don't have somebody sitting in a room saying, well, that player's worth that point. You have a set scale. So if you're a four-year NRL first grader, you're worth a certain amount of points. And then you get a loading if you're a state of origin or an international. And that way, you can divide your team, you know where you are, and anybody who wants to look at that team can say, okay, he's a rookie, he's worth 4 points or whatever. And you get your 300 points. And they can pay him whatever they want to pay him. And you don't have people trying to do underhanded deals because everybody knows that stuff goes on that we don't know about. And the clubs with the most financially capable backers are able to do a whole lot more with third-party agreements. I'm very careful. I don't want to get banned.
No, they're good points, Bob, mate. You're talking about transparency. And that's the key, Jimmy. And this is what you've been on about for a long time, transparency.
I agree that there needs to be greater transparency around the salary cap. My only concern with your system, Bob, is that where is the reward for those clubs that develop talent?
They get discounts if they've got local juniors.
Okay, I like that.
Good.
I like that.
They get discounts if the player stays for 5 years or more.
Yes.
Okay, so that comes back off.
Yep.
So there's a reward for loyalty. There's a reward for getting local juniors into your team.
Yep.
And there's not a penalty, but if you've got four set of origin players or internationals in your team, you get a loading on those players.
So therefore, you can
manage it. If a player makes the set of origin for that first year, That particular doesn't count for the following year.
It makes sense.
So at the beginning of the year, you've got your 300 points, and nothing can change that.
Bob,
tell you what, I've heard worse arguments.
Bob, you've spoken a lot of sense this morning, and you probably have no place on this program whatsoever, but if you could put that together in a white paper and send it across to Todd Greenberg, I think the National Rugby League would appreciate that. Actually, being flippant, a lot of good points, mate.
Exactly, and a CD for Bob, too. I don't know if he likes Marina Pryor and Mark Vincent together, but he might grow to like it.
He struck me as that sort of guy. Yeah.
During the Australian Turf Club's Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio captured every magic moment.
English in front of the All-Age, and English gets in
That's amazing. I mean, to be able to ride my first Group 1 winner for Ron at the official start of the carnival, and then the second one at the last day of the carnival was pretty special.
Hawkesbury on April 30, then the Scone Carnival in May. All the excitement of New South Wales autumn racing is right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Master builders train the best builders. The best builders look after their clients and deliver quality buildings. Get trained by Master Builders trainers who are experienced and licensed. They can assess participants who may not need to attend a classroom by recognising existing skills. With Master Builders, you know your qualification is fully accredited and held in high esteem. Enrol today to become a Master Builder. Call 8586 3588 or Google MBA NSW.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
A couple of SMSs here. Tim has replied again. Jimmy, my point about Muhammad Ali is that he didn't want to fight for his country as legally required.
Mm.
He should have left it and gone somewhere else. Instead, he stayed living a life of luxury while others fought. That's from Tim. Tim spent 34 years in the army. So
you've got to respect that.
Absolutely.
So on this weekend is more than any.
Yes, so Deep Purple. I think he might be a Deep Purple man.
Yeah.
Purple coming. CD out for Tim.
I take your point, Tim. And maybe we... too reverential in our terms when speaking about Muhammad Ali, but you know there were issues being fought on a domestic level that he felt more strongly about than that. But
think of the times too, and at the time he was a polarizing figure,
and he was a brave figure to do what he did.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's bravery around that as well. But we do appreciate you coming back to us on that one. We always appreciate speaking to Andy Pascalides on a Sunday morning. G'day, Andy.
G'day, gents, and to those that have fought for our great country and continue to serve our country, all the very best and what is a special, special day.
Absolutely. Well said. 4-1. Now, I think this came as a great surprise, did it not, Andy?
Major surprise. You look at the fact that Adelaide will be hosting our first grand final, and this was their 18th playoff game. They'd only won 3 times previously, and the 2 times they lost at home this season was against Melbourne City.
Right.
2 in round 5 and 1-0 in round 23, but credit to them, they turned it on. Yeah, they got a couple of late goals, but they were dominant throughout, and it was a humble sort of post-match press conference for the Banship. Some coaches do, they tell the truth. And he basically said they were outplayed. It was one of those great performances by Adelaide. And whoever wins today, they'll go into the grand final as favourite.
Well, what are you thinking about today's game between the Wanderers and Brisbane? Andy, obviously all of New South Wales hoping for the Wanderers.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go on what I've seen this season, particularly at home. It's a sellout of Perth Stadium. This is their moment. They've got... a lot of motivating factors. The fact that they lost the grand final against Brisbane a couple of years ago at the death of Suncorp is one. It's been such a wonderful ride for them. 4 years in, a third grand final appearance beckons. And I like the way that players are sharing the attacking workload from Santelab to Mitch Nichols and so on, and Mark Bridge. They're all getting consistency of performance in front of goals. You're not just relying on one player. And I hate to say it, there's a bloke called Theo Vaccari. We haven't even heard from him. He trains pretty much on his own. We haven't sighted him for months, and he was the marquee striker.
Mm. You can't get a game.
$2 Western Sydney. $3.60 the draw, $3.70 is the Brisbane Roar price.
Yeah, they've come in. They've come in a fair way from earlier this week, to be honest with you. And not surprising, but it's going to be a cracking game today. And hopefully conditions, the pitch, I'm not sure what the pitch would be like after a bit of rain
It's sunny periods this afternoon, and that'll dry very quickly, Pertech Stadium. That'll be fantastic.
As a diversion, Jimmy, before I went out to my beloved San Susie Premier League games yesterday, I was watching a bit of footy on telly, and there you were, calling some rugby league, mate. I was impressed.
Well, that sounds like you're more impressed than Sophie from Strathfield, but anyway.
Well, what did she say?
Oh, he wasn't very complimentary at all, but anyway, I appreciate that, Andy. That's very kind of you to say. I want to ask you, how many people are going to turn up to the Adelaide Oval? This could be the biggest attendance at a football game in Adelaide, right?
I was going to say, because the Adelaide members were given the opportunity, obviously, from Friday night after the game to get their tickets.
Yeah.
Members of the FFA football family can get tickets from 8:30 tonight until 9 a.m. Tuesday. General public sales will go on 11 a.m. on Tuesday. Obviously, the Wanderers or Brisbane Roar members get that corridor as well tonight. But, I'm not sure what the capacity is of the Oval.
That's 55,
yeah.
Don't be surprised if, and not being disrespectful to Brisbane, but if the Wanderers get through, there'll be a lot of travelling support.
Right.
A couple of my friends are actually going after races next Saturday if the Wanderers make it. Yeah, they're already playing their road trip, Andy. Andy, any thoughts just quickly on the grand final next week? I know Adelaide would have preferred a night grand final, but the kickoff is 3:30, I understand.
Yeah, and on that, and on the way they've gone this year, remember they had that wonderful unbeaten run, and it's just been a fantastic journey after a horrible start. Mm. They go in as hot favourites. One loss in the last 19 rounds of the competition, and throw in that semi-final, one loss in 20 now. That's a phenomenal record.
Mm. Let's go to, well, England, not necessarily the EPL, but FA Cup semi-final. Manchester United get home late, as they often do. And just the 86,000 people there at Wembley.
Crazy. What a dramatic end too, Jimmy. I mean, 93rd minute, Martial pops up taking advantage of a mistake. Lukaku had a penalty saved in the 57th. Everton were in this game in a big way. But it's hard to believe that Man United have not played in an FA Cup final for 9 years.
Yeah, I know.
They're there. So they'll play either Crystal Palace or Watford. Palace are favoured at 2:45, the draw at 3:10, and Watford the outside of it. Wonderful occasion, Wembley, and it's great the semi-finals are being played there. And for Mile Jedinak, it'd be one of the biggest occasions in his footballing career.
Absolutely, yeah. Overnight, Andy, Liverpool up 2-0 at home. Newcastle have fought back to get a draw, though.
That's incredible because Southampton won 4-2 away at Aston Villa. So Southampton are 1 point behind Liverpool, and West Ham are 1 point above Liverpool. So all these teams are chasing Europa League spots. But it was a fantastic night for Man City, 4-0 against Chelsea. Hazard's first goal of the season. He scored a brace in a 4-1 win at Bournemouth. Villa crashed at home to Southampton, but Liverpool are kicking themselves. 2-0 up. Sturridge scored in the 67th second, then Lallana in the 30th, and you're thinking this is the right sort of form before they take on Villarreal in the Europa League semis. Mm. And then Cisse and Colback scored, so it hurts them a little bit. But for Newcastle, there's a resurrection happening here, guys. I mean, they're unbeaten in three rounds, and Rafa Benitez goes back to Anfield, and he almost got the 3 points. Well done to them, and they're fighting for survival.
Something that I saw last week that I think is extraordinary. Liverpool FC and Chelsea FC, two of the biggest brands in world football. Over the last 2 weeks, they have played in front of 11,300 spectators. That's because AFC Bournemouth Stadium, Vitality Stadium, that's their capacity. It seems incredible that a stadium in the English Premier League can fit just 11,500 people.
And I think of 11,500 people, right, and I think of the old days of the National League, when I'd go out and call games at, say, Marconi or Sydney Croatia, where when you packed in 11,000, it was like a coliseum in a sense. But they tick all the boxes in terms of what the stadium has to provide for TV and everything else. But I hear you, mate. I hear you. It's just a surprise. But Bournemouth, they've had a pretty good run, I've got to say. Bournemouth had a pretty good run in the Premiership there. They've got 41 points around 13th, 14th position, so they'll be happy for survival.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And just finally, Andy, it's hotting up in La Liga?
Crazy. Quickly going through the scores. Real Madrid got up 3-2 at Vallecano thanks to Gareth Bale brace. No Ronaldo injured. Bale's got 18 goals in 21 games. Barcelona bashed Sporting 6-0. Suarez 4. Atletico got across the line against Malaga. So Barcelona 82 points plus 73 difference. Atletico 82 points plus 43. Real Madrid 81 points, a plus 72 differential. 3 rounds left to play. It's going down to the wire.
Okay, well, I was just trying to get a market on that. Suspended at the moment, so we might try and get one a little bit later on in the program when we speak to Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. Good on you, Andy. Have a great Anzac weekend.
I will indeed, boys. After going to watch Black Sabbath tonight, I think I'll just chill a little bit this time.
You know, I was walking out of ANZ Stadium yesterday and there were Black Sabbath fans everywhere, and I didn't know whether they were going to the Bulldogs game or going to the concert, but maybe some of them did both.
I'm not sure if Ozzy's still on stage, though.
Loves the Bulldogs, yeah, apparently, Ozzy. Yeah, loves the Bulldogs, yeah. 13:53:53 is the... They do not... Yeah. Anyway, producer Jeremy somehow found his way into the studio. Andy Pascaletti's here with all the latest in football. Call now if you want to be a part of the ZNZ quiz. Call now. Just a score update, Roman.
Is it 11-5?
You're spot on. Well done. Got one right.
Hi, from Andrew Bensley at Racing HQ. The exciting New South Wales Autumn Carnival continues next weekend with Hawkesbury's $1 million Metropolitan Saturday. You'll get the latest each day this week with eyes on the Hawkesbury Guineas, the Gold Cup and the Daly Crown. Also, as we commemorate Anzac Day, Punters Postmortem will wrap up the weekend's racing on Tuesday morning at 9. Get the best analysis on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UViewed online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help, no problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at WidelineWindowsAndDoors.com.au.
See a world-class lineup of 14 elite thoroughbreds competing for one of racing's most sought-after trophies, the Group 1 Audemars Piguet QE2 Cup. The Cup is the highlight of a smashing 10-race card from Sha Tin. It's where Aussie contender Rising Romance will not only take on Hong Kong's local heroes, but also an exciting trio from Japan. Today from 3 p.m. across the Sky Racing Network. Get on at your local tab or at tab.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Ready to go on the ZNZ quiz, courtesy of ZNZ, of course. Alan and the team there. Now we're heading to Frankie first up. And Frankie is going to be playing for me. G'day, Frankie.
How are you, Jimmy?
Very well, mate. Where are you from, Frankie?
I'm from Bondi.
Bondi. Spot on, Frankie. Well done. All right. Here we go. Question one. Who do the Sharks play in the National Rugby League today? Is it the Panthers, the Seagulls, or the Knights?
The Panthers.
Spot on, Frankie. After 7 rounds, who led the competition in tackles made? Was it Mitch Rain, Simon Mannering, or Jake Friend?
Simon Mannering?
No. Jake Friend on 392. Should have got that at Bondi, Frankie. Question 3. Heading into round 8, which of these teams has recorded most try assists? Getting a little obscure now, producer Jeremy. Raiders, Warriors, or Rabbitohs?
That's a bit of Raiders.
No, they're on 20 along with the Rabbitohs. The Warriors had 21.
Yeah, tough questions.
Well, I'm not sure it's reflective of knowledge. It's just lucky guessing.
Yeah, oh,
that's what I'm concerned about now.
Well, I'm backing my man Marty to get 2 or 3 here. Marty from Castle. Good morning, Marty.
Good day. How are you going?
Terrific, mate. You 1 to tie, 2 to win, Marty. So best of luck.
Can I call David Middleton as a friend?
David Middleton doesn't have friends, Marty, so no, you can't.
Hey, Marty, whatever you need to do to win, you just do it, okay? So here we go. Question number 1. Who does the Storm play in the NRL on Monday night? Is it the Warriors, the Raiders, or the Tigers?
Warriors.
So let's give me that first
solid
question.
Start, here we go. Question number 2. After 7 rounds, who led the NRL in run meters? Was it Josh Mansour, Josh Dugan, or Josh Maguire?
Josh Maguire.
It's Josh Dugan.
I like what he's done there with all the Joshes, though, good, isn't it? Yeah.
Just quickly, Josh Dugan's 1,256 meters. Wow. Mansour, 1,231. Maguire, 1,151.
So, pretty impressive numbers,
aren't they? Amazing, yeah. Okay, Marty, question number 3. Heading into round 8, which of these teams had recorded the most offloads? Was it the Eels, the Sharks, or the Dragons?
I would say the Eels.
You
Yeah, got it, Marty. Well done. Congratulations. What's your team, Marty?
I'm a bit embarrassed to say after yesterday, but the Tigers.
Oh, okay. Well, there's only one way to go, Marty, after yesterday, and that's up. So.
Oh, Marty. Did you watch it last night, Marty?
Yeah, unfortunately, still about 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you showed great courage in staying in the fight that long. Well done.
Longer than the team did, I think. So.
Oh, Ray, you can't say that.
They were terrible last night. They were woeful.
So. Marty, stay on the line, mate. Congratulations. We're going to send you out a West Tigers watch, courtesy of Z&Z. And just updating the score now, you rocketed
back
up
in the game.
You are back in the game, Raymond. That quiz, all courtesy of Z&Z. Check them out online. ZEDNZED.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Lots of talk during the week about Golden Point, what should happen to it, should it be different during the semi-finals, and wouldn't you know it, there was another game just yesterday about Golden Point with the Bulldogs defeating the Gold Coast Titans in extra time. I'm sure Zorba's got some strong thoughts on that. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, what do you think about the National Rugby League changing the rules at the end of mid-season for an end-of-season game?
I don't think you can do that. I think that whatever the rules are in the competition rounds have got to be the same rules for the finals. You can't have a different set of rules in the finals just because it's a finals football. It's what it is until the end of the year. If they want to change it then go through the process.
What are your thoughts then, say, for 2017, Pete?
Mm. Oh, I'd like to see it scrapped. I didn't like it from the start. I don't have a problem with a draw. Obviously, in finals football, you've got to have a result.
Yes.
And if that's the situation, then we can go into to some form of breaking that deadlock simply because it's too hard to get the players to play a replay at that stage of the year. But it's got to be thought out. You just can't have one rule for 26 rounds and then change it.
Totally agree. Sam Burgess hit on Joe Offa-Hengawe on Friday night. A lot of discussion about that. We think differently on it, Ray and I. What are your thoughts?
The rules state that you can do what he did.
Yeah.
It's the force of it that that came into the referee's thoughts. And for mine, he was just letting him know that you can't surrender.
Yeah. Yeah. The things that we admire in this game are the toughness of the athletes. And when was the last time you heard kids talking about how good the voluntary tackle was that so-and-so did,
Yeah, exactly. Look, if you'd hit him in the head, I would have a problem with it. But
absolutely.
It was across his chest.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fair game. Look, I marvel at the football this weekend. I just think it's been great. My biggest problem in the game at the moment, can anyone explain to me, and the Dogs are barking that Darius Boyd's going to be named Australian fullback this week. I seriously can come up with, I think, 7 fullbacks that are as good as, if not better, than Darius Boyd.
Fire away.
About Darius Boyd, that he gets the rails run into an Australian side at a fullback when we've got, in my opinion only, these players are better fullbacks than he is or as good. Greg Inglis, Lachlan Coote, Josh Dugan, Will Hopewadi, James Tedesco, Matt Moylan. Mm. Now, the great thing about this game is that we all debate.
Yes.
But I'm sure there's plenty of our listeners that would agree with at least some of those players being better than Darius Boyd.
Who would you go with?
I would go right at this moment in time, I would go either Tedesco, or I'd go with Greg Inglis at fullback.
Mm. Yeah, I'd go Tedesco fullback, Inglis centre.
Inglis centre, yeah.
But
does anyone agree with me about Darius Boyd?
No, 100%.
I don't know.
I don't understand it either.
I don't know.
Mm. I mean, I watched him again on Friday night, and I keep saying, Zorba, there's something about this bloke that you don't pick up.
Mm.
But I've been watching him for a long time now. I think he's a better winger than a fullback. I can't understand why he's the Australian fullback coming up, but it's obvious that he's going to be because everybody is saying so.
Interesting. Yeah.
That was a cracking game last night up there at North Queensland.
I think Parramatta showed that they're a very tough, talented side. They're the best side they've had at Parramatta in 30-odd years. Mm. Without a doubt, they're tough, they're talented. I mean, they did get three long distance tries to get them into the game, but that's they can turn a game on its head. Brad Radra looks like he's going to get a go on the Australian side. That's another topic of debate that I'm sure is going to raise the ire of a lot. How can the Pacific Islanders ever improve their lot when we're taking their players?
But yes.
I still think that he's a marvellous player, and if he wants to play for us, then he's going to be a talent that we're going to enjoy on the wing for Australia. But I thought that the Cowboys showed again what a great side they are. But what is it about them? Their side, their grand final side, hasn't changed, and we're 8 weeks into the competition, so they're still being able to back their players up. Whoever's looking after the training up there and the recovery and everything else is doing a fantastic job. It was a compelling game last night. Parramatta down 14-0 to get the 16-14 at Cowboys home ground is a marvellous thing. No doubt I think the referee did the right thing when he sent Norman to the sin bin.
Yes.
He can't do what he did.
Yes.
It may or may not have prevented a try, but I thought the referee did the right thing, and then it was all over Red Rover after that.
Yeah, 100% agree. You had to make that call. Penalty try, Zorb, or just too much of a stretch?
Pardon?
A penalty try for Corey Norman, that created some debate.
I think that was, you can only give a penalty try if you've got,
100%,
if you've got absolutely no doubt the try would have been scored. And the way the ball was bouncing, I don't think anybody could have actually said that. He did go upstairs and give it as a try, but I think he thought that
he grounded it, didn't
Morgan
he?
Morgan got his hand on the ball, but boy, didn't Morgan do some things in the last few minutes that just stamped his class again.
Yep.
And it's interesting, the Thurston doesn't have to do as much in that side now because of Morgan. We've seen him come through, and he's now going to be on the bench for Australia. What a player.
He's absolutely. I'm a massive Michael Morgan fan. I've got to say, I'm now a Josh Hodgson fan. I was saying earlier, Zorb, it's a great advertisement for English rugby league players who get out of the English Super League and come to a, you know, the athletes, the way they prepare in the National Rugby League is world class, and you're seeing the result of that with Josh Hodgson.
Oh, you are, and there's an interesting story. I mean, sitting there last night and watching the game alongside Jason Taylor, to his right as we watched the television, was fairly unknown young coach in Craig Sandercock. Now, 2 years ago, Sandy, who I've known well from Manly days, he was a junior rep coach over there, and I've tried to follow his career closely and have. And he was Hull Kingston Rovers coach 2 years ago, and he recommended his hooker at the time, unheard of in Australia, Josh Hodgson, to go to Canberra, and said so to coach Ricky Stewart. How must have he felt last night when Hodgson just produced the spark for try after try after try in that 60-6 thrashing?
Amazing.
He was brilliant last night, Josh Hodgson.
He was brilliant. I don't think Sandy would have been feeling all that brilliant. Gee, Jason Taylor looked like he was going to the gallows, poor bugger. It's a tough job coaching.
It was terrible, that look, wasn't
they
it?
They were awful,
On
a more positive note, Zorb, tomorrow Mitch Orbison plays his 200th game for the Roosters, and a bit of an unsung hero at the club, but what an outstanding player he's been.
Oh, ultimate clubman, just does his job with a minimum of fuss, plays any position very, very well that you ask him to play. He plays within the rules. He's admired by his teammates and his opposition alike.
I think
it's a classic 200 game tomorrow for Mitch Orbison. Country boy has just done his job brilliantly for the Roosters. Jimmy, you know him pretty well. What a great player for any club to have. And loyalty in the game is often questioned. You can't question it about this fellow.
Highly valued member of the Sydney Roosters team, undoubtedly. Articles in both newspapers today, Zorb. Kieran Foran to sue the Seagulls. The amount is suggested at $140,000 for unpaid third parties, but Joe Kelly says, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's exactly as much as I know on it. I've got to be honest, I have spoken to Kieran about this, and I suggested that that he really talk to his manager, because there doesn't seem to be any paperwork on this. It's a mystery, and if it's got to go to court, it's got to go to court. I try not to get involved with things like that. I don't want to be because he's a good mate.
But apparently there was a solicitor's letter sent to the Eagles, and then you've never heard anything after that point.
No, and I'm not sure whether he's going ahead with it. If he is, then that's his right, but it'll be settled. But I mean, settled by the courts. Mm. I don't know enough about it. All I know is that whenever I've asked about it, that nothing is in writing anywhere to suggest that that's the case. But it's not for me to say.
Mm. All right, let's get a zapper out of here for this. Four games remaining in this round.
Yeah, four games remaining. I want to also say that this time next week we're going to be talking about the Sharks and the Broncos. Broncos in daylight. They're going to have to wear sunglasses. They won't know what to do. And I'm tipping everybody, get on next week at the line, the Sharkies. They will get amongst them, and we're going to see the first real test of this Broncos side in this competition. It should be a beauty, but, of course, they've got to get over the Panthers today, who are a very, very good football side. I think they will. At the line, the Sharks. I'm going line, Sharks, line, Roosters, and line, Warriors, all up.
Okay, -4.5 $1.85 the Sharks, -2.5 $2 the Roosters, and +3.5 $2 the Warriors. We've got to fly, Zorb. Have a great day.
Good on you, boys.
Peter Peters there with all the latest in rugby league. Time now to get the scratchings from around New South Wales. We say good morning for the first time to Tanya.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good morning, and good morning, everyone. And those meetings are at Tamworth and Nowra. We'll start with Tamworth, where the weather is fine. The track is a good 4, the rail true, and there are 13 scratchings. Out of race 1, take 5, Pixel Youth, and 11, Red Mist, 5 and 11. Race 2, number 4, Tantamount, and 10, Chappie's Dream, 4 and 10. The third is clear. Out of race 4, take 11, Accord, number 11 from the fourth. Race 5 is clear. Out of race 6, number 3, One Cat Wonder, 5, Lemming, and 12, Manskewi, 3, 5, and 12. Race 7, the Tamworth Cup, take out 9, Hunter Jack, 12, Sahara Chill, 17, New Wait and See, and 18, Yes, There Is. 9, 12, 17, and 18 out of the cup. And out of race 8, number 1, Ice Bucket. Take out 1 Ice Bucket from race 8 at Tamworth. To Nowra, the weather is overcast. The track a soft 6, the rail true, and 14 scratchings. The first is clear. Go to race 2, take out 2, Tidal Rip, and 5, Loose Goose. 2 and 5. Race 3, number 2, For Me Dad. 4, Stasher, and 5, Pure Reflection, 2, 4, and 5. Out of race 4, number 2, Slinging, 2 from the 4th. Out of race 5, number 1, Lad About Town, 7, Tidal Magic, and 11, Plea Bargain, 1, 7, and 11. Out of the 6, number 2, Magic Franco, 4, One More Bopper, and 5, Sparson, 2.